Yate means hello, good morning, or welcome. Yate. How's my friend this morning? How's my brothers and sisters? We're all the child of God. It's good to be in the house of God. My name is Fred Thomas. We come from Gallup, south of Gallup. Been here for a few times. So it's good to be here. It's nice to see you all again. It's so quiet in here. Getting shaking up here. As we read the scriptures this morning in the book of Matthew and book of Romans. Book of Matthew, Jesus asked two questions. He asked his disciple, what do people say about the Son of Man? You know, in our days, probably say, the man, you know. Jesus asked them again, but who do you say that I am? Who is Jesus? That's my question. Who is Jesus? I read the Bible from Genesis to Revelation so many times, and I read it steady and read about Jesus, and Jesus is the divine and human Son of God and born of the Virgin Mary, and the great high priest who intercedes for his people at the right hand of God, and he is the cornerstone of the Christian church and central figure of a human race. And John 14:6 says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by him. And this scripture is proclaimed in no uncertain terms exactly who and what Jesus is. I proclaim his name. It is good to be here in the house of God, and upon this rock I will build my church. The church is built on faith in Christ, and the church is built on Jesus Christ, the chief cornerstone. Peter said that Jesus is the Son of the living God. And I agree, you also agree. We all agree. Oh, yeah. He is the Son of the living God. Once upon a time, my entire family, neighbors and friends, did not know Jesus. I didn't know Jesus either. When I was about 10 years old, I learned and I recited the Lord's Prayer at school. Yet I didn't know Jesus. My grandmother raised me like a son after my mother died when I was a little baby. My grandmother didn't know Jesus, but she depended on the traditional ways of Navajo medicine men. She must have been known Jesus, but around maybe 60, 70 years old when she became sick at all times. She sought out a medicine man several times per week who would perform ritual on her in the hope that she would be healed and ailments. Over time, she lost much of her valuable, including concho belts and beads and her sheep, goats, as she used to exchange for service the medicine man performed. She only got worse day by day. And then one day, one of my uncles took her to a revival near the house. One night she gave her life to Jesus as others prayed with her. When she gave her life to Jesus, she was healed of her afflictions. Amen. She became a new person full of joy. She began praying earnestly for us and others, pleading with Jesus for our salvation. I used to hate it when she prayed, honestly. I used to hate it, even when she used the name of Jesus, especially. I used to just hate it. And when she walked to church on Sundays and Wednesday evening with the Bible under her arm, I remember telling her, you are crazy, Grandma. You are crazy. Why did you do away with our Navajo religion? Why do you carry around white man's book? That's not the way, our way is over here. Ooh, 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 you know? Huh? Are you listening to me? Anyway, she didn't care. She didn't care. She continued to stand with her faith in Jesus. I went as far as telling her one day that I was going to kill her precious sheep. And when I had killed all the sheep, I was going to kill her too. That's how far I went just because she had Christ in her life. Can you imagine, you know, somebody tells you, I'm going to kill you, pointing a loaded gun at you. Can you imagine her reaction? She pleaded with me not to talk that way and do such thing. Then suddenly she shook me by saying that if I kill her, she would be okay because she would go to heaven to be with Jesus. I was stumped by this. There was nothing I could do or say that would make my grandmother stop believing in and talking about Christ. Our entire family was against her. We rejected her, blamed her for our own hardship. We needed to blame someone to, you know, so we blamed her just because she had Jesus in her life. In Romans 6:23, it says that, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through our Lord Jesus Christ. At this age, my life, I was drug addict, an alcoholic, a lost sinner. In other words, probably a loser. My alcohol addiction was about to take my life. Death was knocking at my door, and one Wednesday night, as my grandma was headed out the door to go to church as usual, she came back in twice and said, son, let's go to church. Come back to God. And somehow, the way she spoke that night touched my heart and I agreed to go to church with her. In the house of God, that night, I surrendered my life to God by asking Him to forgive me and all my sins. I got saved and immediately felt different in my life. After we got home that night, Grandma and I talked for hours because I was so happy. We laughed together. And for the first time in my life, I kissed my grandma. I kissed my grandma in the forehead, telling her that I love her. It was a great feeling. My grandma was a strong believer in a prayer warrior. She prayed earnestly for the salvation of all our children, all her children. When I got saved, my grandmother was no longer alone. Together, she and I faced our family's ridicule. Now there were two of us to pray to Jesus for our family salvation. Gradually, others in our family begin giving their lives to Jesus. Hallelujah. At some point, we begin meeting in one another's home to study the Bible and pray. We love the times of fellowship as more and more family members and others join us. One day, some white missionary came around and asked if they could have a revival at our place. My family quickly agreed and built an arbor shed using cedar trees and live oak branches. It was a humble meeting place. Long after the revival was over, we used the arbor shed as our meeting place. One day, my grandmother had a vision about building a church. So the House of Fellowship was born. Amen. My family chose me to lead them, but most of all, God chose me, a common man of humble beginning and a troubled past. It blew my mind to think that God could use someone like me. There I was, a man without a mother and father from the time I was a baby. A drug and alcohol addict, a thief, Yes, I was a thief. I used to steal guns from people. In my generation, there's a truck. They had rifles in the back of the window. I used to crack the window and grab the rifles and sell it or pawn it. That was my daily living to get drunk on. I was a thief. But today, I'm the child of God.
Amen.
I don't want to steal no more. You know, a lowly man chose to lead the house of God. Surely I was inadequate and unqualified. But when God chose you, what more can you do or say except obey? So that's what I did. I obeyed him. Throughout the course of history, God used common people such as Moses, Joseph, and Rahab, countless others for his kingdom. For example, Ruth lived among her family who worshiped pagan gods. She struggled with the path she took, whether to join her family or their pagan gods or to choose God. Ruth was chosen by God for his own plan, to fulfill his own purpose. Each one was chosen to build upon what God has already started. How many times has God called you to fulfill a specific task for his kingdom? How often have you felt unqualified, ill-prepared, and uncertain? As Ken read Romans 12:1-8, God clearly tells us in his passage, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness." He wants each of us to receive and exercise the gifts he has apportioned to us. What can we do to build our churches upon a rock? How can we overcome our weaknesses and shortcoming to continue building upon the rock? God says his grace is sufficient. Long after my grandma went home to be with Jesus, the house of fellowship continues to thrive. By God's grace, it continues to stand upon the rock of Jesus Christ today. As the house of God, we are many in number, and yet we are one body in Christ. We are one family of God. Let us continue building upon the church, upon the rock as the body of Christ. We have all heard expression, safety in numbers. If we are only a few in numbers, we can only accomplish so much. But if there are many of us, we can accomplish so much more. For we can all use our individual talents and gifts to complement the talents and gifts to others to build a strong, unwavering church. Praise be unto God, for he's equipped each one of us to fulfill a specific part of his master plan. Where your weak point is, there is my strong point. And where there is my weak point is, there is your strong point. Together we can accomplish the building of the house of God in his eternal glory. Amen.
Amen.
And that's all I have for you.
Amen.
So we all think about this. Accomplish something for God. This is God's business. It's not our business. Amen.
Amen.
So back in our country, there's a lot of people are being touched, being saved, getting closer to God, knowing God, which is good. Medicine man coming to God.
Amen.
The things are going, you know, great. So keep us in your prayer. Pray for us. Pray for the church. We'll, in return, we'll pray for you and pray for the church. So, ayonin shne. I love you.
I love you.
Have a good day. Amen.